July 26th until August 11th, 10,500 athletes from all over the globe will gather to compete in the Summer Olympics in Paris, France. However, President Macron's snap decision to dissolve Parliament has not only raised the risk of political unrest, but also security concerns for those involved with the Games. This could not come at a worse time, as the International Olympic Committee is being called hypocritical in their banning of Russian and Belarus athletes due to the ongoing conflict in Ukraine, while ignoring the conflict in the Middle East. At this point, will an event which is supposed to unite the world in the name of sportsmanship and showcase the best of a country leave a tarnished and disappointing reflection upon France? I'm Sky Nell Hughes, and this is Perspective. France is known for many lovely things, but when it comes to protest, the French set the bar for creativity in expressing frustrations, and currently, there are many frustrated French people. Frustration at the national government chaos is paired with Parisians' anger at all of their tax dollars being spent on the games, and not on helping the needy or the poor areas within the city. To vent this frustration, Parisians have planned a massive flash mob that would fill the River Seine with the human waste at the exact moment President Macron and French Mayor Anne Hidalgo are supposed to swim in the river in honor of the games. The plan to soil their leaders has gained so much momentum on social media that Olympic officials are worried the Olympic events, which will be held in the river, will have to be delayed as there is no plan B for those events. This is just the tip of the iceberg of frustrations and controversy surrounding this year's games. So I thought I would bring in a panel of experts to give a preview of what to expect both on and off the field. We have our very own sports analyst, Steve Christakos, Ben Holden, who works as a sportscaster, and Helen Linsky, who is a professor emeritus at UNI Toronto and author of Inside the Olympic Industry, Power, Politics, and Activism. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you.
Ben, I want to start with you on this. Do you feel like the Olympics are still just as relevant today and important as they have been in the past?
I really don't. You know, I went through last night doing a lot of reading and research knowing we were doing this today and looked back at some things. I mean, I can't honestly tell you in 30 years and being in sports and play-by-play and various roles, I can't honestly tell you the last time that I actually was heavily invested in the Olympics. I would say I'm more invested in the Winter Olympics, and that's because of my love, as you guys know, for hockey. But I don't think they are, Scotty. I think it's changed so much. And I think specifically in our country here in the U.S., with all the pro sports, I think that's where everyone's attention is. And I just don't get as excited as I used to get about it. Let's say, and I'll tell you my age, I'm 53, back in the 80s and even into the 90s when I was really into the Olympics. But in the last 20 years, I really haven't been that into the Olympics in general, in the Summer Olympics.
Well, Helen, you know, the Olympics have always been seen as a source for diplomatic relations. However, do you feel like it's now becoming kind of more of a punishment if you do not go along with this worldwide agenda versus a motivation for everyone to get along?
Well, the Olympics are full of contradictions on that front. And one president will say, politics have nothing to do with the Olympics, keep politics out of the Olympics. And then another president will say, oh, we're going to recognize Taiwan, or we're not going to recognize Taiwan, or we're going to recognize Russia, or we're not going to, or whatever. It's pretty arbitrary. It's in the hands of the IOC. They're answerable to nobody. So, of course, the Olympics are political and sort of on the big geopolitical level and also at the macro level in Paris, as we're seeing right now.
Well, that's the thing, Steve, because over the years, I know you've covered several different Olympics, whether it be the winter or the summer events, as well as other monumental sports events around the globe. You know, they're supposed to bring this huge economic benefit to cities, supposed to obviously boost tourism, but obviously show the world how great this city is. But it also costs the city a lot of money as well. Do you feel like that it's still the economic benefit today that it once was? And are cities still trying to attract it maybe as competitively as they have been in the past?
Well, cities are definitely bidding for in bidding wards to host the Olympics still. However, I don't think it is to an economic benefit always, depending on the city. Like Rio, for example, in 2016, famously lost a lot of money. They were in the hole, I think, a couple billion dollars. And that's partly because they didn't really have the infrastructure to begin with. But if you're, you know, you have cities like in France, for example, like Paris, or cities here in the U.S. that will host it coming up, the infrastructure is already there to an extent. So they will probably break even, though, because historically, most cities have not profited from the Olympics. But it is still prestigious and an honor to host them. And it brings a lot of attention and tourism to local businesses. However, in terms of the city itself, they do end up either breaking even or losing a lot of money.
Ben, this could not have been much of a surprise. I mean, everything that's going on within the French government was sort of predicted. They've obviously had lots of protests over the years. Do you think, however, that currently, because of what's going on in Parliament, that the French people have been able to, or the French government have been responsible and carried out all of the promises they made, which initially attracted the Olympics to their land for the summer of 2024 when they made this bid years ago?
I wish I had the answer for you on that. I mean, I certainly have my own opinion, and I'd say no on that. In watching a lot of the things again last night, watching, you know, the way that the village is set up and things going on with the river, I don't know that they are. And I just think it's such a massive undertaking to bring all these things together. I mean, if you look back through the course of Olympics, have other cities done what they've said they were going to do? I don't know the answer to that either, but I sure am looking forward to seeing how it all goes there. I mean, one of the things I really thought was great was the Eiffel Tower in the backdrop, the volleyball courts there. And I think a lot of the things they have set up are cool. But in terms of your question, again, I would say no to that, Scotty. I don't think they have.
Well, and Helen, you know, between President Macron actually dissolving Parliament and throwing this government into chaos, as well as some of the U-turns we've seen on green-friendly policies, which they have actively promoted, the one that comes to my mind is this installing AC units, when they said at first there was going to be no air conditioning because they did not want to put the carbon footprint. And then obviously all these countries, including the United States, said, we're going to bring our own. Do you think that the Olympic Committee, the IOC, actually deserves all of the controversy that it's being given right now?
Oh, yes, and more so, absolutely. And it's, from my perspective, it's a good thing to see increasing critique. I've been arguing for this for more than 25 years, and as have a lot of other Olympic critics. And every year we see increasing numbers of protesters, of grassroots groups that are organizing on environment issues or anti-poverty issues, the criminalization of homelessness, all sorts of social issues, social impacts, and economic impacts, the cost to taxpayers. So, More is good in terms of protest and raising global awareness of the downside of the Olympics.
Well, but that's the thing. Does it take away from the athletes, though? That's my question to you, Helen, is because do you feel like in any way, while yes, those causes are probably very, very well deserved, does it take away where people are more focused on those that have nothing necessarily with the athletes who have spent years training for it? Is it fair necessarily to mix the two?
I think the viewers around the world can do two things at the same time. I think they can have their awareness raised about social and economic environmental issues, and at the same time appreciate and value the work that's gone, the dedication of the athletes.
Oh, that's right. Well, Steve, you've talked to a lot of these athletes. When you're doing your interviews with them, do they often bring up some of these issues that are being protested, or do they more focus on their sport when they're talking with you?
Well, I think it depends on what the issue is specifically. Mostly they're focused on their sport, but when it comes to, for example, Russian athletes and Belarusian athletes being banned from participating in terms of the ceremonial aspect, in terms of having their flag and their anthem played, they have to participate as neutral athletes. They have a lot to say about that. And then a lot of other athletes are also, you know, kind of for that as well, due to the conflict going on in Ukraine. But that's very hypocritical, because we could say the same about a lot of other conflicts going on, where you could make the argument that U.S. or Israel shouldn't be allowed to have their flag or anthem played as well. If we're going to, you know, it should be a blanket rule. If you're going to be, if you're going to enforce that, you should be consistent. But personally, I don't think any athlete should be punished due to what their government or leader does in terms of being involved in conflicts, because sports and, you know, conflicts such as war should not be mixed. It's a totally separate issue. So, yeah, they're very vocal about issues such as that.
And what's interesting about Steve, I know a lot of actually sports coverage of it sometimes try to avoid the politics, at least in years past. But this year, it seems like they cannot avoid it. Hence why we're going to go to break. And when we come back, citizens are calling on the Olympic Committee to ban Israel while the assault on Gaza continues. Plus, after a complete ban in the 2022 Winter Olympics, the Russian delegation will once again compete. However, will they be treated fairly and accepted like all of the other athletes? We will continue our discussion with our panel of experts after the break. Welcome back. Now, there has rarely been an Olympic game that was not affected by a conflict in another region of the world. However, this year, the International Olympic Committee has ruled that athletes with a Russian or Belarusian passport must compete only as individual neutral athletes. Teams of athletes with a Russian or Belarusian passport cannot be considered. Athletes who actively support the war cannot compete. This seems highly targeted, considering Russia is not the only country currently embroiled in conflict. So let's bring back our panel to discuss. Sports analyst Steve Christakos, sportscaster Ben Holden, and Helen Linsky, professor emeritus at UNI Toronto, and author of Inside the Olympic Industry, Power, Politics, and Activism. Thank you so much for joining us again. I want to start with you on this, Ben, and let me talk about how the fact that in the past, like I said, sports broadcasters never got into politics. You covered sports, but more and more in today's society, you're having to get the politics, especially if you're an international sports broadcaster. You're right in the middle of it. You're still having to become very much influenced or know what's going on geopolitically. So let's focus on the athletes first. Ben, do you feel like those athletes from countries that are embroiled in regional disputes are being treated fairly by the IOC this year?
No, I don't. And I don't know that they have been since all this started. I mean, you, Steve, and I were together when all this stuff started, and we know what happened to us in an aspect of our lives. So I don't agree with it at all. I've said it going back to 2022 when the Winter Olympics were going, when the Russian hockey team played. They played in the Winter Olympics as the Olympic athletes of Russia. All the other Winter Olympic athletes for Russia were able to play. And I don't think it's fair because of what their president is doing. They have nothing to do with this. I mean, if they're over there taking time out to go fight and get involved in it, then I have a different opinion. But now I think it's completely unfair. Think back, and I'm an American. I got a flag on my coat. I served in the military. I love my country. But back in when we were in Afghanistan, how come there was no pushback for us? Was that, this is something I thought about last night. Was that because of social media and because of what you talked about, Scotty, the geopolitical stuff and how everything's tied in now? And a lot of people will say, stick to sports, but sometimes we can't. And so I think it's completely unfair. You know, the World Junior Hockey Team for Russia, they were supposed to host the event. They got that pulled. I understand that. I know it's a slippery slope. That was in the country of Russia. So I think that's a different category of involvement. I think for these athletes to go participate in the Olympics and represent their country, I think that is something they should be able to do. It doesn't matter to me what their president is doing and what he's doing to another country. Do I favor it? I don't absolutely favor it. I'm against it. But the athletes should be able to participate for all the work they put in, their commitment to their country, and their commitment to what they've done, and that's trying to win an Olympic medal.
Well, that's the thing, Helen. From where you see it, I know that probably you're more focused a lot on more of the social issues that doesn't have anything to do with the Olympics. However, do you think that some countries are treated differently when they're involved in a conflict versus other countries when they're involved? Is there an equal standard across the board?
No, there's a long history of that not being an equal standard. And one of the classic examples going way back in history, the 1936 Nazi Olympics, as they have now been called, held in Berlin, and negotiations between Hitler and his buddies and the IOC and the American Olympic Committee and so on, they all kind of got together and said, oh, it'll be okay. we won't go after Jewish athletes, everyone will be safe. And then fast forward to Sochi and Putin assuring the world that LGBTQ athletes and fans would be safe. There's just so many inconsistencies, so many double standards, as you mentioned. So that's why it's hypocritical for the IOC to say we don't want to get involved in politics. They're up to their necks in politics.
Well, and that's the thing, Steve. Do you feel like the Olympic athletes, when you talk to them, have more empathy towards each other based on their countries and therefore treat them fairly compared to the general public and the attendance, as well as the administration of the Olympics? Do they give each other empathy knowing that if, well, this year my country might be beloved, but next year it might not be, so therefore let's just compete against each other one-to-one and forget the politics?
Well, I think it depends on which athlete we're talking about and where they come from. For example, I'm thinking about Wimbledon, which is going on right now, and a couple years ago, due to this conflict with Russia and Ukraine, Russian athletes and Belarusian could not compete at all. Then the next year they decided to let them compete, but as neutral athletes, again, just like with the Olympics, no flag, no anthem if they win. But, you know, we had players like Novak Djokovic come out against that, supporting the Russian athletes because he knows what it's like to be ostracized. As we know, Novak Djokovic is infamous for a lot of controversy. But then we had other players like the world number one on the women's side, Iga Swiatek, who's Polish, say that Wimbledon, you know, did not, they should have held that ban up and made an example out of these Russian athletes. And so it depends on who you talk to. But again, I agree with both Helen and Ben. The hypocrisy is undeniable here and the double standard. And, you know, all these athletes work their whole life to get to a certain point, and they shouldn't have that taken away due to something they have nothing to do with just because of where they were born.
Well, it's interesting. We're talking about conflicts, obviously military conflicts that are happening in regions. I want to talk to also specific issues that are happening. Ben, there's still a controversy that remains regarding the use of certain drugs by athletes after several years of debates. We still don't have an answer. Shy Carrie Richardson was left off the U.S. Olympic team because she tested positive for THC, which is a chemical found in marijuana. Do you think the sports community feels the rules regarding the use of recreational drugs like marijuana by athletes are outdated, considering the continued legalization of marijuana around the globe?
That's a tough one. I mean, I think, you know,
that's why I went to you with it. I knew you could handle it, Ben.
I understand that. I don't know what the number is, Scotty. You may know, but I think it's in the 30s of how many states in this country, in the United States, where marijuana is legal. And I'm not a medical expert by any means. Sometimes I pretend to be when I'm doing games, but I say that tongue in cheek, kidding. But I don't know that marijuana gives you a performance enhancing edge when you're talking about competing in sports. I mean, I think it's clear that cocaine does, drugs like that that are stimulants can. But it's something that I think is to me, it's almost petty for what they did to her, to Richardson, as you referred to. And I don't know that that's, I'd have to see the list of banned substances, I suppose. I don't believe that that all that should, you know, should factor into her not being able to compete in the Olympics. So I think it was a petty thing they did. And I think in a way, I think that might have been political. I mean, we're talking a lot about politics and sports, and she is one of the best in the world. So who knows what to make of that. But I think they need to do something to have a, you know, a change to that rule.
Well, a universal. Well, it's not just her. Then the opposite, because you got Steve Christakos. There was legendary Olympic U.S. swimmer Michael Phelps. I know he's your hero. Told a U.S. House panel that the Olympic Games may unravel if sports doping is allowed to continue. This session was followed revelations in recent weeks that the top Chinese swimmers are scheduled to compete next month at the Paris Summer Olympics, tested positive repeatedly for performance-enhancing drugs. Nothing's been done. Do you expect the Olympic Committee to take the issue up and rule one way or the other, or is this being done by too many countries who will fight behind the scenes?
Yeah, I really don't have any faith in the IOC to you know, do anything about this, because like Ben said, it's very selective when they choose to ban Shakari Richardson for something that is definitely not a performance-enhancing drug. If anything, it makes you a lot more mellow, and I don't think she would ever want to smoke weed, you know, before a performance. However, what Michael Phelps is saying when he talks about the Chinese swimmer specifically, they were using a banned heart medication, I believe, which can help regulate their heart rate and therefore increase their performance. So that is a PED, which should be punished, I think. Those athletes should be dealt with, and the IOC seems to allow that, but then ban Sha'Carri Richardson for cannabis. So it doesn't make any sense. The inconsistency is glaring, and I don't have any faith that they will do something about it, but I definitely agree with Michael Phelps in terms of something that is actually a PED.
Right. Well, and so, Helen, you've been speaking of the hypocrisy that exists on both social as well as how each country is treated one versus the other. What is the right way? Is there a way that the Olympics could do this that would be fair across the board? And what would be your top suggestion you would give the IOC to avoid controversies, because the Olympics aren't going anywhere, but to avoid future controversies where that becomes the story and the focus on that instead of the athletes and the games that are going on?
Well, in terms of the doping, that's administered by WADA, the World Anti-Doping Agency, and their list of banned drugs is just as inconsistent and has just as big a double standard as every other aspect of the Olympics. And so the other guests are right that there are drugs on that list of banned drugs that do nothing in terms of performance enhancement, and yet athletes get banned sometimes 1 year, sometimes 3 years in outrageous decisions, and they have very little recourse. They can go to the Court of Arbitration for Sport, which I've written an entire book about in terms of its inconsistencies. It's pretty much useless as an arbitration tribunal because it does not rely on past decisions. A different panel looks at every different case, and I've documented dozens of unfair cases of US, Canadian athletes from all around the world, where one gets off and the other gets banned. So that would be a beginning step for the Olympics to change so that the doping situation was cleaned up, literally. Right. On the other hand, there's this move to have the enhanced games where drugs or doping is actually allowed, and that may or may not happen next year. Only one athlete has publicly said that he's going to compete. He's a retired Australian swimmer. But that sort of turns the whole thing on its head. Like, imagine having games where everybody is up to their gills in whatever, testosterone or amphetamines or whatever enhances performance.
And I think the sad part in all of this is that all of these athletes are mentors. These are goals that younger children are watching in their sports. And what are they actually, what lessons are they learning in order to be successful in their sport? And maybe them too one day compete in the Olympics. Steve Christakos, Ben Holden, Helen Linsky, thank you so much for joining us on our Olympic preview special.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
The origins of the Olympic Games date all the way back to 776 BC at a place called Olympia, the site where worshippers gathered to honor their various gods. The Olympics, in fact, were created to honor Greece's most famous god, Zeus, and continued until 393 AD, when after 12 centuries, Emperor Theodosius I, a Christian, banned all pagan festivals. It would not be for nearly 1,500 years until Baron Pierre de Coubertin, a Frenchman, would resurrect the games. However, today, I don't think the Baron would be very proud of the hosting job his country is doing for the Olympic Games, as most of the controversy surrounding this year's Summer Games are man-made and could have been avoided if only wisdom had been used by leadership. The Games are supposed to be about the athletes involved, who have spent their entire lives preparing for this competition. The lack of respect being shown for the competitors by those in charge, both within the Olympic organizations as well as the political leadership of the host country, is not only insulting to the athletes, but to the rest of the world. But hey, that is just my perspective. That's all we have for today. But in the meantime, find me on X at SNH Perspective, and let me know yours by using the hashtag Perspective. See you next time.